With news that Rex Tillerson is out, what does a new Secretary of State mean for Iran or Russia economic sanctions? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. As you've been hearing, there's a Trump tweet this morning that CIA Director Mike Pompeo will become the new U.S. Secretary of State. Ian Bremmer advises corporations on just this kind of matter. He's founder of the Eurasia Group, a political risk consultancy based in New York. Morning, Ian.
Good morning to you.
What do you make of this change at the top of state?
The relationship has not been functional for a while. The fact that Trump was going to accept a direct meeting with Kim Jong-un without his Secretary of State knowing about it is unprecedented, even in the context of this administration. Add to that completely opposite stance in responding to the Russians growing over the course of the past months. It was getting harder for the relationship to work. But Tillerson clearly was willing to stay because he thought the alternatives were going to be worse. Trump didn't care, and that's why he's out.
All right. So in comes current CIA Director Mike Pompeo to run the State Department. Do you think foreign policy changes?
It does a little bit. I mean, Tillerson, as much as he had incredibly poor morale at the State Department, didn't engage with diplomats rank and file much, and a lot of them were quitting. But he is actually very sensible internationally, has a lot of relationships with key world leaders, and had been a moderating force in key areas of confrontation, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Qatar, for example, Iran, Russia, North Korea. Pompeo, much more ideological and hawkish, specifically on the Iran deal and on North Korea. I think the likelihood of confrontation in both of those arenas becomes greater, and the constraint on Trump in terms of Russia policy becomes weaker.
All right, hawkish in these areas. What about hawkish on Russia? There's a lot of sanctions and international business deals tied up in these Russia sanctions.
We've seen consistently that Trump is unwilling to name and shame the Russians or take policies against them in reaction to those things the Russians have done to us and our allies. I would see Pompeo as being much closer to Trump's personal line on that issue.
Much closer to Trump's personal line on that. Sorry about that cell phone line. Ian Bremmer at the political risk consultancy, the Eurasia Group. Thank you. Gina Haspel is the president's choice to run the CIA now, subject to congressional approval. She would be the first woman to run the spy agency. She's a 30-year veteran there. Published reports have previously raised questions about Haspel's role overseeing the torture of two alleged terrorism suspects in Thailand. Despite the fervent entreaties from Broadcom of Singapore, President Trump has signed an order blocking Broadcom's hostile bid for rival microchip maker Qualcomm of San Diego. This is not a run-of-the-mill antitrust story. The administration is worried the $117 billion merger would be a threat to U.S. security. Our coverage begins from Singapore, where the BBC business correspondent Leisha Santarelli has been following Broadcom's now thwarted effort to charm the U.S. administration.
Last November, the Malaysian-born CEO of Broadcom, Tan Hock Eng, was pictured standing next to President Donald Trump at the White House. It was considered by many as the height of success for the Harvard-trained businessman, who's built up a relatively small Asian company into one of the world's biggest and most profitable chipmakers. He had announced plans to move his global headquarters to the U.S. from Singapore, but those friendly overtures with President Trump clearly weren't enough. Broadcom issued a statement today saying it disagreed with the decision, and I think it's fair to say that many hopes were dashed as well.
Santarelli is with the BBC in Singapore. For more now, let's check in with Eric Gordon, who teaches at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Morning to you.
Hello, David.
We used to live in a world until recently where companies had a tax address in Ireland, their corporate registration might be in Delaware. Multinationals were nowhere and everywhere at the same time.
Yeah, and now we've become sensitive to where they really are, not where they say our nominal headquarters are, but where's the CEO, where are the decision makers? Are they in the U.S. or are they in Ireland or are they in Singapore?
But need we say it again, Eric? Broadcom is not a Chinese company, for those a little unclear on their Asia geography.
Yeah, it's Singapore, but it has close ties to some Chinese companies, including one of the companies that's already effectively been banned from the U.S. because of fears that its chips will allow China to eavesdrop on us.
Now, U.S. officials, the Trump administration and beyond, have noticed that the next generation of wireless phone service is on the way, 5G. And that's at the heart of the national security concerns here?
Yeah, because 5G is super fast. This is what's going to make autonomous vehicles work. You can't, you know, wait a couple of seconds to find out that you should stop your car. It's also going to drive virtual reality, which is the entertainment business. So you're talking about two giant industries. Who's going to control the technology, the U.S. or China?
Eric Gordon at Michigan Ross, speaking from Ann Arbor. Eric, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Divided Decade is our coverage 10 years after the great financial crisis. Today I'm talking to the woman who saw it coming and tried to raise the alarm. If you missed my conversation with Sheila Bair on the air, she's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. She ran the Federal Bank Deposit Insurance Outfit, you know, the FDIC. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.